There's a well-known Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Nun, where we're taught Ba'usha Hiskinu. The Chachamim made a takana. They made an institution in the town of Usha. Hamevazvez al yevazvez yoser mechomesh. That a person who is spending money on a mitzvah, they should not spend more than a chomesh, more than 1/5, more than 20% of their assets. Shema yitzdarach lebiros, because we're concerned if you're going to spend so much money on a mitzvah, on performing a mitzvah, then perhaps you're going to end up being in need on your own, and that is something that the Torah does not require of a person. Mikra, how do we know that that is the case? How do we know that that's true? Maybe whenever the Torah instructs me to perform a mitzvah, it means I should do the mitzvah to the max, regardless of how much it's going to cost me. Says the Gemara, because we learn it from a pasuk, V'chol asher titen li aser a'asrenu lach, that one of the Avos says, whatever you're going to give me, whatever you'll bless me with, I will give you back miser, which means I'll give you back 20%. So therefore we assume that you don't spend more than 20% on a mitzvah. However, says the Gemara, we have an exception to the rule. When do we assume that you have to be obligated to spend more than a fifth of your assets to perform a mitzvah? Says the Gemara, chutz midalad kosos v'ner chanukah. When it comes to Pesach and providing wine for your family to have the dalad kosos, and number two, lighting Neros Chanukah, we assume both of those mitzvahs, which surprisingly are only mitzvahs midirabanan. Yet the Gemara says when it comes to those two exceptions, we assume a person has to be willing to pay more money. How much do you have to pay? Says the Gemara, Chayiv lefazer ma'osav, you have to be willing to spend lots of money, like the Gemara says, afilu mocher ksuso, even to the point where you have to sell your clothing. That's what's expected of a person in order to provide themselves with Neros Chanukah and with the wine for the Dalet Kosos. And the question is obvious. Why are those two mitzvahs different? And certainly the fact, given that those two mitzvahs are only midrabanan, they certainly should not be something that obligates us to pay such an exorbitant amount of money. How do we understand that? Sir Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. He said, these two mitzvahs are about Persume Nisa, like the Gemara says. And because they are supposed to highlight Persume Nisa, we offer a bracha at the time of those miracles, of those mitzvahs that we perform. We say, we hope that the Ribbono Shel Olam will do miracles for us like he did back then in the days of Chanukah and back then in the days of Pesach. That's what we ask for. We want a geula, and we want to be redeemed, and we want to experience those incredible times, those miracles like we had back then. Well, says Rav Soloveitchik, you're asking God to go above and beyond his normal way of running the world. Normally, the world runs al pi derech hateva, by a natural order. By Chanukah and by Pesach, the world went at a supernatural level. That's the way the world was running. So now you're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want you to run the world once again by the supernatural level. But I'm only going to stick within my boundaries. I'm only going to pay a certain amount of money and nothing beyond that. So God will say back to you, if that's all you're willing to do, then that's all I'm willing to do. My general boundary is I only work within Derech HaTeva. You want me to go above and beyond, then you have to be willing to go above and beyond. And therefore, said Rav Soloveitchik, that's why by those two mitzvahs in particular, by Neros Chanukah, as well as by Dalet Kosos, we find an exception. But in general, the Gemara says this is something that we don't have an obligation to do. When you read this Gemara, again, the Gemara started and said, Be'usha Hiskinu, in the town of Usha, they made a takana. One would get the impression that we're dealing here with a takana midrabanan. We're dealing here with a rabbinic instruction that the Chachamim told us there's a limit to how much we expect you to spend on the performance of any mitzvah. However, the Vilna Gaon writes on the Mishnah and Peah, we're all familiar, we say it in davening every day, Elu dvarim she'ein lahem shir. There are a number of things that have no limit. What are they? Ha'peah, v'ha'bikurim. You can give as much bikurim as you want. You can give as much peah, you can leave over for the anim as you want. U'gemilas chasadim. There is no limit to the amount of gemilas chasadim you can do. Ask the Yerushalmi, hadad etema begufa. That just means how much I can give of myself to other people. So I give of my time, I give of my energy, I schlep things for Tomchei Shabbos, and I do things for other people, and I go and I paint the house of the almana who can't pay for it, and I do all kinds of wonderful things. Gemilas chasadim to the max, do it all. However, says the Yerushalmi, avalobim amono. I'm not expected to spend all of my money on Gemilas Chasadim. So what do you mean, Elu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shir? This is the list of items that have no limit. It's not really accurate. It means it has no limit in terms of how much I have to give of my body and my soul for another individual. But there is a limit to how much I should be giving of my money for another person. I should not be giving more than a chomesh. I should not be giving more. Now says the Vilna Gaon on that Mishnah that he min haTorah. This is a prohibition that is actually a biblical prohibition. which sounds to be contrary to our Gemara. The Gemara says, Ba'usha Hiskinu. Sounds like it came along later on in history. Now, the Vilna Gaon writes, what it means is Shahaya Mikodem Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This always was the rule for Moshe Rabbeinu. When he gave us the Torah and he told us we should shake a lulav, and he told us we should build a house and buy a mezuzah, and we should buy a pair of tefillin, Moshe Rabbeinu said from the outset, don't spend too much money on it. I don't expect you to spend more than a chomesh nechasav on all of these mitzvah items. However, the Vilna Gaon writes, shakhu, everybody forgot about that halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So people were going around spending exorbitant amounts of money on mitzvahs, and therefore chazru v'yastu, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along later and said, hey, let's get things back in order. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first gave us the mitzvah, never had in mind that we should blow out all our money every year for Sukkot and for Pesach and for Tefillin and for all the mitzvahs that we have to do. So they put it back to the way it was originally instituted, which was, you only have to spend a certain reasonable amount of money, but more than that, you don't have to do. Now, parenthetically, the Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Ahavas Chesed, which is all about mitzvah sheben adam lachavero, uses this idea, this concept of hamevazvez al yevazvez yoser mechomesh. He used it as a way to give us a perspective. The Chafetz Chaim was also, aside from being a great Baal Halacha, he wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim and Shmiras HaLashon, and he wrote, obviously, as we know, the Mishneh Berurah, but he also has a lot of Musar. The Chafetz Chaim was a tremendous Baal Musar. He was a tremendous person when he gave Mishalem and when he gave insights into human characteristics. So here he says the following, Mehatakana shehiskinu chachameinu zechrona levracha. From this institution that the Chachamim taught us, that Hamevazvez al yevazvez yosim mechomesh, that you shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your money on any given mitzvah. From here on yecholin lehisponin, from here we can learn something. Kama yesh lo la'adam lachus al mamono shelo lefazer osam le'inyani hevel. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we should learn from this instruction of Chazal that we certainly should not waste money on frivolous pursuits. If Chazal come and tell us, don't spend too much money on an esrog, don't spend too much money on a lulav, don't give too much tzedakah because we're assuming it's going to come back to bite you, then certainly, says the Chafetz Chaim, you wouldn't be allowed to spend too much money on a house, or on a car, or on having, he says, on having masharsim in the house, on having beautiful clothing, on having all the very extra things that we really don't need. And he said, so often it leads people not only to oni, not only to run out of money because they're not budgeting properly, but he says it leads them to steal money from others. We've seen this happen. It leads people to steal money because they have to keep up with this society, they have to keep up with what their family has become used to. And therefore, he writes, this is something that we should use as an opportunity to remind ourselves. If the Torah says not to overspend on a mitzvah, and when you do a mitzvah, you're going to get olam haba for it, and you're going to get schar, eternity for that, and yet the Torah still says don't go overboard, certainly for the things that are just mechale es mamonam, he says, for the things that just waste the money and really don't get anything in return, certainly we should be careful to limit that as much as possible and to be careful in the way that we spend in life as well. So we're all familiar with the pasuk that we recite in Kriya Shema every day. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, we have to love God b'chal avavcha, with all of our hearts. U'v'chal nafshecha, with all of our souls. U'v'chal me'odecha means with all of our money. So ask the Gemara, im ne'mar b'chal nafshecha, lama ne'mar b'chal me'odecha, if it says you have to love God with all your heart and with all your soul, what does it mean I have to love Him with all my money? Isn't that part of my heart and soul? The money that I own is part of who I am. So what does it mean I have to love God b'chal nafshecha, b'chal me'odecha? So says the Gemara, what it means is as follows. Im yesh lecha adam, it's addressing two different people. Im yesh lecha adam shegucho chaviv alav mimamono. If you have a person whose body is more worthwhile to them than their money, which I hope is all of us, lakach nemar b'chol nafshecha. That's why the Torah says you have to be willing to give up your entire body for the service of God. And if you have a person, says the Gemara, shemamono, chalila, you have a person who values their money more than they value themselves, so on you, the Torah says, you have to be willing to give up all of your money, because to you, that's the most valuable thing. So that's what the Gemara tells us. You have to give up b'chol me'odecha, you have to be willing to spend all your money on God, and you have to be willing to spend b'chol nafshecha on God as well. So doesn't this seem to be contradictory to what we just mentioned? The Gemara says that you're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of your assets on any mitzvah. And yet here the Gemara says, b'chol me'odecha, you have to be willing to give every last penny that you have. So which one is it? Should I be willing to give everything, or should I say I have a limit to how much I'm expected to spend on any given mitzvah? And the Gemara answers that the only time you have to be willing to give B'chol me'odecha, literally every penny that you have is when it comes to the lav of Avodah Zarah. If you are being forced to serve Avodah Zarah, and you have an option to tell the person, I'll give you every last penny that I have in savings in order to save myself from violating the Avera of Avodah Zarah, says the Gemara, that's when I have an obligation to give up all of my money in order not to violate the Avera. However, when it comes to anything else, the Gemara says, that's when we say we have a limit. What's surprising is that the Ramah in Hilchas Dalad Minim draws a very different distinction, a different conclusion from what the Gemara seems to tell us. The Ramah writes in Hilchas Dalad Minim that we don't draw a differentiation between Avodah Zarah per se and all other mitzvahs, but rather we draw a distinction between mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs los asay. When you have a positive commandment that you have to fulfill, the mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of sukkah, the mitzvah of dalad minim, the mitzvah of shofar, anything else like that, we assume you only have to spend up to a fifth of your assets to be able to afford those mitzvahs. What if a person simply doesn't have money? I really don't have anything. And it's going to cost me more than a chomesh nechasav in order to buy a dalad minim, or in order to buy a shofar, or to buy a lulav, or to buy a tzitzis, or anything else. In any of those cases, we would say you're not mechuyev to do so, because that's a mitzvah saseh. However, the Ramah writes, when I have a situation where it means violating a lo saseh, he says, when it means that I'm going to have to violate any of the lo saseh Shabbat Torah, not only Ovid Avodah Zarah, but anything, says the Ramah, in a case like that, we would assume you have to be willing to give kol hon beso, not to violate it. I would have to give everything in the world, which means, take for example, I'm on a desert island, I happen not to have any kosher food. I know that there's no way for me to get kosher food. How much money am I obligated to spend to have kosher food delivered to wherever I am? Says the Ramah, you would have to spend all of your money to be able to do that, which is a surprising comment, but the Ramah says that's what a person has to be willing to do. That's what it means, bechol me'odecha. I say it every day in Kriyat Shema. Do I mean it? Am I really willing to give everything I have to get that kosher food, or perhaps not? So that's what the Ramah says we have an obligation to do. The Vilna Gaon extends it even further there on Shulchan Aruch, and he says, doesn't only mean when it comes to eating non-kosher food, which is a biblical prohibition, or violating the laws of Shabbos, or anything like that, but says the Vilna Gaon, afilu shvus de Shabbos, even in Isser de Rabbanan, I have to be willing to give all of my money not to violate an Isser de Rabbanan that I'm being asked to violate, because that's what it means, bechal me'odecha. So now, the question is as follows, and this really leads to our parsha. We know that we have a mitzvah in the Torah of Lo Samod Adam Riecha. If I see that somebody's struggling for life, I have to do whatever I can to help them. Like the Gemara says, if I see somebody's drowning, Rachmana Litzlan, someone's drowning in a river, I have to jump in to save them. I have to do whatever I can to help save somebody else's life. Says the Gemara, we have many examples of Lo Samod Adam Riecha. But a very basic, a very obvious one would be, you have people in the community, or people all over the world, who unfortunately cannot pay for medical treatment. You have people who cannot pay for medical research that might help their condition somehow improve. So the Achronim asked, wouldn't I have an obligation to give every penny that I have, whenever I make money, in order not to violate the prohibition of Lo Samod Adam Riecha? If I don't give all the money that I have, it means I'm not helping somebody as much as I possibly can to save their life. And when it's a lav, when it says, Lo Samod Adam Riecha, it means, if I don't make sure to be vigilant about that mitzvah in the Torah, it means I'm violating a transgression in the Torah. So shouldn't I have to give kol hon beso? The same way I would have to give all my money not to eat treif if I was on a desert island, so I would have to also give all of my money for medical researches, for all hospitals, for any chola that happens to be sick in my community or all over the world, I should have to give every penny I have not to violate the Aveira. Chasam Sofer has a very similar kasha. The Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that Ein Podenas Ashvuin Yosem Mikidei Demeim. If you have somebody who's captured and you're afraid for their life, you don't know what's going to happen to them, says the Gemara, if they put up a ransom and they say, we want you to give a certain amount of money, you should limit how much money you're willing to give to ransom somebody from the enemy. Don't give Yosem Mikidei Demeim. Don't give too much money. And the Gemara gives a whole bunch of reasons, but ask the Chasam Sofer, why? Aren't you concerned, Lo Samod Adam Riecha? We should give every penny we have to save the person. What's the difference what the ramification is going to be later on? Right now, we have a mitzvah in front of us, Lo Samod Adam Riecha. If I don't do the maximum, if I don't do everything that I possibly could do to save the person's life, I violate the Avera. So how do I get around that? Why shouldn't I have to give everything I have? And finally, in our parsha, we have the mitzvah of tzedakah. Parshas Re'eh, we're told, not only do you have a mitzvah to give proactively, but the Torah also says, Lo sa'ametz Es yadcha velo sikpot, es levavcha, don't close your heart, don't close your hand to give to other people. Well, ask the Acharonim, doesn't that have some sort of indication that if I don't give tzedakah, it means I'm violating not only the mitzvah saseh of gemilas chasadim, but I'm also violating the lo saseh of lo sa'ametz and lo sikpots. So shouldn't I have to give everything I have to make sure I don't violate the avera of neglecting the ani who's standing there and asking for my charity, who's asking for my money, to give them to tzedakah? I once asked this to my father, and he thought, you can answer all of this in one full swoop, and that is, the only time that the Torah says we have an obligation to give all of our money is when it's something that is chad pa'ami. It's something where I'm on a desert island, I have no kosher food, I'm stuck, and one time I'm going to have to give all my money to violate the avera, or in order to keep the mitzvah, that's when we say, give all your money. In order to make the Kiddush Hashem, to do what you're supposed to do, don't violate the Avera, rather give all your money. But a person who would be asked, because of Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha, or because of the mitzvah of tzedakah, a person would be instructed, I want you to give every penny that you have to a hospital. I want you to give it to all medical research in the world. I want you to give it to every yani in the world, and until every yani has enough money to support themselves and sustain their lifestyles, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Imagine, what kind of life would that be? I would never be able to live. There's no end. There's no end to that. It's a bottomless pit. So therefore, if the Torah would instruct us to give to that, we would never be able to live at all. I would be forever giving every penny I have to do everything. It's not like a one-time Avera that I'm going to violate where I have the option to give everything or to violate the Avera. This is something which is an ongoing necessity and it will never go away. And therefore, in a case like that, even though the Ramah says you have to give all your money theoretically not to violate an Avera, that's only when it's a one-time act. But when you have something which is an ongoing situation, that is an opportunity that we would say you would not have to jump on. We would not say that you're obligated to give all your money for that, because there is no end to that kind of very difficult situation.